The UN Human Rights Council has launched an urgent inquiry into escalating violence in the Sudanese city of El Obeid, which is currently under siege by the paramilitary Rapid Support Forces, known as the RSF. It comes after the UN Human Rights Chief Volker Turk warned on Friday that a catastrophe was unfolding in the city, where his office has documented patterns of summary executions, abductions, torture and sexual violence in the surrounding region. The UN says it's reminiscent of the RSF's takeover of El Fasher last year, where the group is accused of committing war crimes, genocidal acts and killing at least 6,000 people. Nathaniel Raymond is Executive Director of the Humanitarian Research Lab at the Yale School of Public Health. This team has been using satellite technology to document atrocities in Sudan throughout the conflict. He joined me earlier. Nathaniel, the UN Human Rights Council launched an urgent inquiry into the situation in El Obeid yesterday. How dire is the situation there from your assessments, what you can see?
From a humanitarian perspective, we are reaching point break. The bombardment by Rapid Support Forces, suicide drones, has hit the main power station and 30% of all gas stations and fuel reserves in the city. Why that is a big deal from a humanitarian perspective is that the water pumps that provide the citizens of El Obeid and the over 200,000 internally displaced persons seeking refuge in the city with clean water are shutting down due to a lack of fuel and power. That is a problem, a massive problem, because it's the rainy season. And so if people don't have clean water, they'll start drinking brackish water with animal and human feces in it. And the real risk here is that we could have a wildfire cholera outbreak, which could kill thousands.
The situation in El Obeid is being compared to the siege by the RSF of El Fasher last year, which was horrific. The group carried out ethnically targeted killings. There was widespread sexual violence and so on. What sort of build-up are you seeing in this latest situation in El Obeid?
Well, this is where I and the team here at the Yale Humanitarian Research Lab, where we disagree with the warnings from the UN and the US and the UK. We don't yet see evidence that the Rapid Support Forces have massed in a way consistent with an imminent assault. We think probably they are trying to starve the city and cause a water drought, and will probably, because of the condition of the roads during the rainy season, which are now muddy, probably they could attack as late as September. We have not yet seen where the RSF force is. The other issue is the comparison to El Fasher. Ethnically, El Obeid is nothing like El Fasher. The mass killings that happened in El Fasher were because they had Fur and Zagawa people who were the last survivors of the first Darfur genocide were seeking refuge in El Fasher. And the goal of that siege was to kill those people to finish the genocide. In the case of El Obeid, well, it is a human security emergency. We think it will look more like the Hadassah massacre in November 2023 in Zelenji, where RSF targeted civilians who were seen as collaborators with the army. That does not mitigate the threat to civilians here, but the comparison between El Fasher and El Obeid is not accurate.
Is the flip side of that that perhaps this gives some more time to take action here?
Well, Sally, you're asking the big question that we need to be asking right now. 2 weeks ago, I testified to UK Parliament in the House of Commons about what Foreign Office did and did not do with intelligence we provided prior to the fall of El Fasher. And the problem with El Fasher is the same problem here. This scenario is not going to change in terms of what RSF is doing by laying siege to cities until their primary backer, the United Arab Emirates, is held to account by the West. This war could end in 2 weeks if pressure was put on the UAE to stop its clandestine arms pipeline, including high-level drones, strategic drones, to the RSF. This is happening because the West won't hold its ally Mohammed bin Zayed to account.
What do you think of that?
It drives me nuts because at the end of the day, the fact of the matter is this is not an ignored conflict. This is the result of a choice. And the choice that's been made by the U.S., the U.K., and the EU is to prioritize its strategic, economic, and diplomatic and security relationship with the UAE over the lives of civilians. And these civilians matter less to the West than the UAE.
Just remind me how much detail you and your analysts can see, particularly with the satellite imagery and what it's like, particularly some of the images that you saw from El Fasher. These satellites are a long, long way away, but the detail tells a very clear story.
That's right. With what's called very high resolution electro-optical satellite imagery, which is the type that we primarily use, though we use other types as well, we can see things like dead bodies on the ground in C shapes and J shapes that are between about 1.3 to sometimes 1.6 meters, consistent with a human body. We can see blood splatter on the ground in certain cases. We can type artillery. We can identify specific types of tanks and vehicles. We can look at very specific fine-grained damage to hospitals. And what we see is really human suffering on a very granular level in a way that has never been more technologically possible. But this is the thing. Satellite imagery can give people information, but it can't create political will.
Nathaniel Raymond, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you, Sally.